Yeah, from what the scholars have indicated, because none of those terms appear anywhere else in the New Testament corpus, that the scholars have come to the conclusion that it probably was an expression that came further out, maybe in the second century.
Peter is right.
Correct.
I take issue with
that.
Okay.
Well, again, we can hear that in various ways. It could be that he was inspired. The works written on that passage indicate that it might have come from later on. But the message is to us of this profound passage that is not really duplicated anywhere else. That's the main focus of what I would want to convey in that. The question was whether, Michael's question was whether those words are repeated in any other text outside of Scripture, beyond Scripture. That was the question, and I did not investigate that further at this point. And it wasn't something I was anticipating. I looked for it because of the expression, but then I thought, well, I'll just take a look in terms of the terms, and was astounded to see that none of those terms are repeated elsewhere, or very few of them. So it would be a good follow-up project.
Father Timothy, Van Nuys, California. I'm sure you have encountered, been aware of cases where pastors could become ensnared by civil law issues. Could you address this as it pertains to our role with the bishop?
If I'm understanding Father Timothy's question well, he's asking about and this is my term, so if I don't get it right, the living relationship between priest and bishop in tension with the civil law related to the counseling practice and liability and all of that.
That's one aspect.
Yeah, and this is in it. You put your finger on, I think, one of the greatest challenges that we're facing today, because we are facing an ever-increasing depth of legal precedents, focus, directives, because of our litigious society, and we're called to try to navigate this relationship in the midst of that. I think you are putting your finger right on our struggle for today. And I don't know what the answer is to that. I see what is happening as the civil law is growing and burgeoning. It is pushing against that relationship. And I think as church, we're going to have to find a way to rebalance a sufficient pastoral relationship with sufficient care for those legalities and for liability. I am a counselor, so I am aware of the liability, have to have insurance, you have to do all that in order to practice. But also in terms of our churches trying to protect themselves. We've all watched in the news as the Catholic Church has gone through this. I don't know to what extent it's happening in the Antiochian Church. I know in the OCA, there's been a lot of work done in that area. We're still trying to come to terms with, is this the right path to go on? Also, I don't want to go into depth with it, but have been in a situation of being in a place where, in terms of sexual misconduct allegations and the aftermath, I was called to go to a parish where the priest was accused, and was there for several months helping the parish prepare for whatever the outcome was going to be. Helping the parish to grieve, because outside of whatever the allegations were, this man was their pastor. And so there was real grief related to the pastoral role. So trying to prepare for that grief. And then in my particular case, when it came time that the allegations findings were presented, all that was said to the parish was there were allegations and they were substantiated after months. And so I begged the hierarch in that moment to say, do we really want the rumor mill to drive the message? And I begged for a more full representation of what happened, what took place, so that the parish could really begin to enter into the healing process. And I was very pleased that that wound up happening. Then the final piece is that I also asked to have an opportunity to sit with, or have somebody sit with, the clergy who participated in the case. Because in my particular situation, a year later, clergy were still calling and saying, I still can't come to terms with what happened. And there was no one to sit and walk them through their experience of sitting in review of a brother clergyman. And so in this case, the process was laid out according to what would be civilly appropriate. And yet, trying to balance that with the reality of life of the church. Very, very painful, very, very difficult. And I don't know what the answer is there, but I do know that if we simply go along with that tide, it's going to be difficult for us. Short of that, we've got to try to find a way of, we have principles through the Gospels to start. And again, it's not to minimize the reality of these cases and the damage that it has done to people's lives, not taking away from that. But at the same time, how do we still be a church, still have the Gospel principles to go to the one who you believe has wronged you, to work through that? And that's being kind of robbed in the process. So you're right to ask that question. I think it's a very important question, one that we should all, through all the layers that we talked about in our presentation in this session, and take very seriously, how do we live that out as a church? Because I think we owe it to our life of faith to do that review. That's a very, very good question. A very sobering question.
Thank you, Father Stephen.